Hi, my name's Julian Sterling. I work at the University of Bath and I'm really excited to be here for my first FOSDEM. I want to talk about Git Building, which is a project that I've been working on for a few years for the documentation of open source hardware. So obviously at this conference we wouldn't need to talk about what open source software is, but a lot of people maybe wouldn't be so familiar with open hardware. So what is open hardware? Open hardware, just like open source software, all of the source, in this case the plans that are needed to build it, are available for anyone to inspect. They're licensed openly, so there are different open source hardware licenses similar to open software licenses, with the CERN open hardware license being the most famous. And in the same way as open source software, it allows us to build on each other's work. And one of the confusions is people normally think open source hardware, open hardware, is cheap, low cost hardware, where it doesn't need to be, but quite often it is lower cost than alternatives. So a famous example is the RepRap 3D printers, which really started this sort of low cost 3D printing revolution, where 3D printers used to cost tens of thousands of pounds, and now they're available for only a couple of hundred pounds or euros. There's the Arduino project that a lot of us know, and then I'm part of something called the Open Flexure Microscope, which is a robotic laboratory microscope where we're working with partners in Tanzania to build this for malaria diagnosis. So why do we need a project all about documenting open hardware? Why is it so difficult? One of the most difficult things about open hardware compared to open software is the difficulty of reproducing a hardware project. So the source, the plans, the CAD files, however you designed the components, these files are digital, they can be copied, but the hardware itself, it's made of atoms. You can't just digitally send a copy of it. So somebody needs to actually reproduce it, source the components, source the raw materials, and go through and do the assembly. And there's no equivalent really to Docker, where you can say, here's my development environment, now rebuild this. You need to take into account that different people live in different countries where there's different supply chains, different people have different tools, different preconceptions on how they're going to come at the project. And so actually getting your instructions good is essential to open hardware, because without good documentation, just a pile of CAD files, nothing's really open at all. So replication, it requires good documentation. And when we say documentation, there are so many different types of documentation. So there could be the fabrication instructions, how to 3D print or mill or cut your particular parts, assembly instructions to put things together. Quality control is really important for hardware, because just because you've followed a particular set of instructions, something could be going wrong with your machines. Maybe there was a defect in the materials, and so you need to go through quality control to check that everything has been made correctly. It's important to capture the design rationale. So in software, this would normally be comments in the code of why you were doing things. With CAD, it can be harder to sort of capture the knowledge of what you were doing when you created something. So you need some instructions to say why you designed it, if anyone's actually going to be able to pick this up and turn it into something else, improve on it, work on it. Then, of course, there's going to be later on maintenance instructions, user instructions, etc. And you've got so many different types of instructions, they can become quite inconsistent quite quickly. And probably the only type that really is sort of a digital file you can just send to someone is perhaps the fabrication instructions, could be some machine code, so some G code for a 3D printer to create a part. So then you don't really need to manually go in and explain too much. Though probably you'd end up sending a CAD file and generating an STL file, and then you would need to explain to people at least the settings to print. Assembly instructions is the main focus of Git Building. So Git Building, it's designed to automate a lot of the difficult and boring tasks, especially creating a bill of materials. And the goal is that you can capture information once and reuse it in similar projects or variations on a particular project. So I talked earlier about the open source microscope we work on, the Open Flexure Microscope. We've got the high-spec version that's good enough for malaria diagnosis, and then we've got lower-cost versions for, say, educational use. And you don't want to have to re-explain every single component when you write full documentation for both types of instruction, both types of microscope. But then you also don't want to have the instructions being, if something, do something else, if you're doing, because it becomes like one of those read your own, make your own adventure books where you have to turn to different pages depending on how you want your adventure to unfold. So as well as that, Kit Building wants to make instructions, the source, very human readable, and in a very standard format. So if you don't want to use Kit Building, if the project goes away, it's easy to move away from. To help you integrate into Git, so you don't have to host your documentation on a different platform, you can actually keep it with the revision control of your project, and generate easy to read documentation. So how are we doing that? Currently, the main Git building instructions are pretty much plain markdown, and then as you're writing, you can tag particular components. So you can see here, we've got a title saying it's an instruction, saying you're going to need, and there's a little bit of syntax to say automatically put in the bill of materials, what to do, take a big screw, and we've tagged it with a quantity. Because we've tagged it with a quantity, it comes into our bill of materials. And then using a big screwdriver, which is a tool, so it goes in a different place, we're going to drive the screw into a block of wood. You've got a fairly simple set of instructions, but we've captured in a machine readable way what we are doing. The key part of Git building is that we're trying to build up all of the important information by attaching the information to the links, not to specific pages of the documentation. So the link can define the items that are needed, the quantity that are used, how to count the item, any notes about it. They also capture outputs, things you've generated that you might want to reuse. And most importantly, the links define steps to follow, so other documentation pages, so you can build up a more complicated project. So here I've got sort of a graphical representation where each of these squares represent a markdown page, and you can see that here we are making a chair, and there's two different steps, so we link to them, and this page is a step in the instructions here because of this step link. And so there are two steps, one to cut the wood, one to assemble the chair, and then from here there are links to particular parts, and there's an output with an output link, so you can cut up some different pieces of wood, and then you can use them again when you're assembling. And then each of those markdown pages, each of those parts has their own page. So I want to give you a little idea of what it's like to use Git Building to put it into a bit of context. So I've created an empty folder and put in two YAML files. One of them is a bit of information about the project, the author, affiliation, email address, the license, and how I want bit of materials to have a title. And another one is some sort of pre-generated content about a couple of particular components. So if I just start by typing Git Building serve, then I'll just go to this page and refresh. You can see we've got a blank project untitled, and we can create a new home page. So if I do that, I'm going to do quite a bit of copying and pasting so you don't see how slow I type. So let's just put in a project for FOSDEM. So it's got a title, and there are going to be two versions of this project. So we'll show off some of the Git building features where you can make two very similar projects with reuse and parts. So we've got a wooden version and a metal version of our project. So we save that. We come out to the main page, and you can see that it's pulled in the CERN Open hardware license here. So let's go to the wooden version and create it. So first of all, let's just say there are two steps to complete. We're going to cut some wood and we're going to assemble a gear. You can see it's created some warnings because those pages don't exist, but let's just carry on anyway and save. Exit. So let's assemble the gear. So create that page. So we've got a title here. We're going to assemble the gear. And if I put in a bit of text, we're going to take a screw, take and put two washers onto it, and then push the screw into a 3D printed gear. So that pretty much looks like Markdown with these little quantities. And the reason we put these little quantities is I can tell it to automatically generate a bill of materials, and now you can see that it's taken the parts and put them in. So we might want to say here, instruction. Again, it's warning that there's no links, so we can put in a couple of links using the YAML page that I showed earlier. And now if I save and exit, you can see that it's gone through to where this screw was in the YAML file, and it's pulled out all of the information, and this can take us through to something like the Westfield Fasteners website to show you the part that you need. So back to the this main page. So you can see, if we go back into edit, that was just telling you to go to the YAML page and then the name of the component inside the YAML page. So let's exit that, go back to this wooden version. So this doesn't have anything apart from just some links to those particular steps, but you can see if we edit it that I've told it those are steps, so it should be able to count up the bill of material for sub pages. So if I just go in and tell it that it needs a bill of materials by just linking to a bill of materials page and exit now, save first, you can now see it's got a bill of materials page. We go to the bill of materials page, it's got the total bill of materials, which is the bill of materials for assembling the gear. So I'm just going to also put in something for the wood. So again, if I go in and put, say we're going to cut up a piece of 2x4 by putting it in a vise and cutting it with a wood saw, again you can see that the bill of materials are automatically created, and I've actually tagged some components as tools. So let's save that and exit. So now the bill of materials has a number of different things. We'll go back to the start, and again we say we've got a wooden version and a metal version. We haven't created the metal one yet, so if I create that, I'm going to copy in very similar content to the wooden version. So again, we've got the bill of materials, this time we're cutting metal. So let's save that and exit, and then in the cuts of metal page I can go through and again very quickly create the page. Say we're going to cut some metal, and this time we're going to take a piece of aluminium plate and cut it on a bandsaw. So if I save that and exit, you can now see that we've got a fairly complicated, well, fairly simple project, but with sort of a complex structure where this metal version uses the page to assemble the gear, and this wooden version actually uses the same instructions, so we can move things around. And both of them create a bill of materials, one which has the section of 2x4 and the wood saw, and one for the metal one, where if we go to the bill of materials, it uses the bandsaw and the piece of wood. And for each of these, I can download a CSV file. So if we open that, tab separated, okay. So you can see here that we've got all the different parts in a spreadsheet. So let's close that. And if I edit this page, so let's say we want to edit it to so I can drag and drop images or models in. So I've actually got an animated GLB file here. So if I drop in an animated GLB file, then we can see, and we can actually change the animation around, so you can see the screw going into the gear. So let's save that and leave. And you can see that both the metal version and the wooden version have this gear on their page. So I hope that gives a bit of an overview of how I can write instructions in one place and then reuse them in multiple places. So what is the current status of the Git building project? So I've shown you that it's possible to build documentations for different variations of a project. And so this started off as a way to document the Open Flexure microscope, which has different variations, and it can do that. It can produce websites and also pure Markdown output for if you want to move away from Git building. And then it also has an experimental PDF creation, which I wouldn't say is quite ready to use, but it's getting there. And quite excitingly, other people are starting to use it. But what Git billing really needs to do is try and make a more friendly interface for hardware people who are not used to coding, especially not used to running things from the terminal. It needs to be easier to install. A lot of hardware people are not used to Python, and so pip installing and trying to set up a developer environment can be quite complicated. And most importantly, need to work towards standardization of the syntax and the data model, because more important than the actual software is if we have an open data format underneath it, then people can replicate the features on other platforms, perhaps cloud platforms. So with that, thank you, and I've given a couple of links to the project website, to the source, and the how to pip install the project. Thank you for listening. I look forward to the discussion in the panel later.